Praise the Lord. I just appreciate that all throughout the month of December, we can focus on the blessing of Christmas. You know, Christmas is the holiday that even unbelievers or unchurched people understand is the birthday of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. So praise the Lord. Let's keep it a strong holiday. Amen. And by the way, holiday means holy day. So it is a religious holy day and celebrating the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hope you have your Bible today. I want to turn to the Matthew account of the birth of Christ. You know, that's found in all the Gospels, and I'm mixing it up as I'm teaching on finding Christmas this whole month of December, and I'm saying it's the greatest discovery of your life. I don't want people to forget about the Christ that's in the word Christmas, and you know, it was, I was reading a story, let me see if I've got it here. I brought it. I was reading a story. I don't know where it came to me, but about in a particular school district, the name of Christ was being banned to be used in the schools, in their school Christmas programs, the name Christ. Even though they could use Christmas, they couldn't talk about Christ. We need to be careful because that could actually happen. It's sort of ironic because you can't say Christmas without saying Christ. It's Christ Mass. That's what it means. But although they could use the word Christmas, and of course they use the word holiday, they use the word winter festival and that sort of thing. But one music teacher, she decided to include in a presentation that her class was doing the word Christmas love. And so to illustrate it, she made up a letter for that whole, those two words, 13 letters on cardboard, big letters, and 13 children to hold up the letter. And they practiced it, and it came time for the program. The whole school was there, and the parents were there, and only there was one little problem. When all the children turned around their letters, little Johnny, he was holding the seventh letter upside down. And so instead of it saying Christmas love, it said Christ was love. Hear that out. Wow. Instead of Christmas love, Christ was love. And yeah, and all the parents celebrated and clapped, and everybody was happy about that. You know, I would love for our government to take notice that of what parents and the majority of Americans are really interested in. You know, and at Christmas time, it is the Christ of Christmas. I wanted to share that with you. Okay, so today I want to talk about, last week I was talking about when you find Christmas, you're going to find family. And everybody loves family. We need family. And I talked about the fact that God could have come and hovered over an adult, full-grown Jesus, and then had him start immediately in the ministry. But instead, God came to humanity in a human way. He hovered over a virgin, Mary, and conceived a child that was flesh and blood and 100% human and 100% God. And came in the form of a baby. And for 30 years, he was a part of a family. And people didn't know him as the Messiah. Imagine that. Jesus working with his father, Joseph, as a carpenter. And yet he was born as God, part of the Trinity, to be the Savior of the world. I find that encouraging because God craves family. We call Father God our Heavenly Father. The Bible says, and I taught it last week, the fact that Jesus is the only begotten son, the first of many brothers and sisters. We are also sons and daughters of God. Somebody say, wow. I mean, that makes me excited to get up every day to know that whether you had a good earthly father or not, I've got the creator of the universe as my heavenly father. And I talked to him this morning and he talks to me and we have relationship, and you can expect that. Today I want to talk about when you find Christmas, you're going to find love, and everybody needs love. Christmas gives us the opportunity to celebrate our love for God and our love for one another. And I'm going to show you today how when you're full of Christ, you're full of love. Christ is God, and God is love. And when you're full of God's love, I mean, it helps you to forgive a lot of the ignorance that's around you. I cannot protect you from ignorance, but I can encourage you to get full, get filled up, get full of the Holy Spirit of God, and God is love, and you're going to survive the ignorance that's around us in the world today. I want to tell you today, love is the greatest attribute of God here on the earth today. Matthew 1, verse 18, I want to just read this. It says, now, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Remember I said the Holy Spirit hovered over her, like the same way God created the earth and the heavens. He hovered over it. And that's how God comes and fills us as well. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly when he found out that she was pregnant. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, I want to read the last couple verses and put one up on the screen. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, and this was out of Isaiah chapter 7, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. I want you to look at that verse right now on the screen, verse 23, Emmanuel. You know, God comes with a lot of names because there's a lot of facets to who God is and what he does. But let me tell you something. The most exciting reality of Christmas is that Jesus was not just a beautiful little baby born in a manger, because there was no room in the inn, but he was born to make a way for God to be with us and in us. Now you can say wow again. This just gets me excited. Let me tell you, if you've been around in the ministry any length of time, maybe you've seen demon possession. I've had the privilege of casting out demons out of people to where they're actually talking in a guttural voice, in a different voice, because they're possessed by an evil spirit. Do you know that you are created with body, soul, and spirit? You are a triune being. And we often take such good care of our physical body. You know, it's so important. Today, I got up, I jumped in the shower, I looked in the mirror, I used my blow dryer, did my hair, and it was one of those days that my hair did not just naturally go where it was supposed to go. And I told Jeanette, it's a bad hair day, you know. I mean, sometimes it's just, boom, it's done. And I said, I'm trying to make this hair be obedient, you know, to, you know, so it doesn't look like I put it on there, you know. It's just natural. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about. This is real, right? But sometimes, you know, it doesn't look so real because it just doesn't want to cooperate. So I'm not sure why I went there. Chased a rabbit on that one. Okay, let's get back to the scripture. Ever happened to you, Pastor? I get to having too much fun. So anyway, that was supposed to be an illustration. But Emmanuel, which means God with us. I think this is the most important part of Christmas. Folks, listen. When you come to Christ, your spirit is changed. I mean, you actually have your spirit in you, your soul. But the Spirit of God comes and fills you and empowers you with the same attributes and characteristics of God. Now, the more you yield to God, the more you're going to manifest those attributes to where you can actually become possessed of a Holy Spirit, not an evil spirit. And let me tell you, when you're possessed by the Holy Spirit, ain't no room for the evil spirit, because that's God with a capital G. All the little gods that are running around, there's no way they're gonna try to get in when they know you are strong in the power of the Holy Spirit. So let me tell you, Jesus talked about this a lot with his disciples throughout his ministry. He talked about there kind of come a time where I have to leave. And they would say, don't leave, don't leave. He said, look, it's best for you. It's better for you for me to leave, because when I leave, I'm going to send my spirit to live in you. And he said it this way in John 14, 16. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And he sometimes used the word a counselor. God in me is a counselor, a comforter. When I wake up in the middle of the night sometimes and I feel anxious, anxiety, I call upon the Holy Spirit, my comforter, to help put me back to sleep. And sometimes in this verse, he talks about the Spirit of truth, even the Spirit of truth, the next verse, here, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. Jesus was with them, and he shall be in you. So praise God. Praise God. We have that opportunity, not just to know the historical Jesus who walked the earth, but better than that, the eternal Jesus, who since he paid the price for the sins of mankind, died on the cross, went into the grave, was resurrected, and then over 500 people saw him walking around again, talking with him. His disciples saw him ascend into heaven as he's saying, I'm going to send my spirit back. When I get up there, I'll send my spirit. Go tarry in Jerusalem and wait, because it's going to come. Day of Pentecost, boom, Holy Ghost comes. Some people say, well, that was just for the day of Pentecost. No, throughout the whole book of Acts, the disciples were asking people, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? They said, we don't even know what that means. A lot of people today don't know what that means. And they go to church and they practice liturgy. And they're bored at church. All they really need to do is say, Jesus, I ask for this infilling of your Holy Spirit. We believe it. It's a second dose of this salvation experience. It can happen at the same time, or it can happen later to you, but you have to desire it. And the Bible talks about in Colossians 1:26, Apostle Paul calls it a mystery that's been hid from the ages, from generations, but now is made manifest. It was made manifest at Christmas. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Are you hungry for more of God? You know, when you're hungry for more of God, what you're going to get is more of God's Spirit. Just follow me here a little bit. I forgot my water. I have to stay hydrated. Just keeping it real, folks. Keep it real. See if I can keep that right side up here. Okay, watch the screens here. God sent his gift of love. You know this scripture, for God so loved the world. It's a gift. When you're opening gifts today, remember, There's nothing you can do to earn your salvation. I've had so many people say, well, when I get good enough, then I'm gonna come to church, I'm gonna get saved. And I said, no, that's not gonna happen that way. You can't get good on your own. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to help you lay down the things that are destroying your life and get filled up with the power of God to help you live the kind of life that you want. And look at this next verse, because we don't hear this enough in verse 17. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's what's on God's mind. I want you to think about that for your children, for your friends and family that you might be fellowshipping with around this season. And, you know, if you're walking with salvation, try to help your friends and your family receive that salvation. It's the first step to getting possessed of the Holy Spirit, and it'll make all the difference in your life. If you're trying to stop destructive habits, and somebody talking to me this week saying, Pastor Phil, I want to stop smoking. And I gave him the antidote to stop smoking. They said, somebody said, well, smoking send me to hell. No, it'll just make you smell like you've been there. But no, I don't preach against smoking. I don't preach against sin. God's got the remedy for sin, and he will convict you. He will prepare you when you're ready to stop this or that or the other. But his grace, his power is sufficient to make it happen for you. I said, just every time you light up, you thank Jesus that you're free, that you're not going to do this anymore. And that's a step of faith. Well, I got to go on. I want to take you to a few verses in 1 John. This is not the Gospel of John, but 1 John. It says, this is how God showed his love among us. Semicolon. He sent his son and only son into the world that we might live through him. We need to understand, church, and help our children and our friends understand that God is not about a religion. God is about a relationship. And this Christ of Christmas wants to live through us by his Spirit. This is not something spooky. It's something real. You are body, soul, and spirit. You have a spirit. Your spirit is the most real part of you. When your body expires, your spirit is immortal. Your body looks all the same. Everything's still there. All the parts are still there, but your spirit leaves. Medical science cannot put your spirit back in your body. Medical science cannot breathe that first breath of life into the baby. The baby's born, and then the breath of life. That's a miracle of God. Hallelujah. Here's another verse in that same passage. It says, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. You know, Jesus said these words to Nicodemus, a very religious Pharisee, a very churched, synagogued leader. He said, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and the Spirit. And he was emphasizing the Spirit. When you're born in your mother's womb, you're born in amniotic fluid, water, as it were, and that's a birth of the flesh. It says flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. And we believe that the Bible talks about the Spirit in 9 attributes. I'm going to put them up on the screen. We call it the fruit of the Spirit. And the very first one is love. Now, when you drove in today on Glory Way Boulevard, you might have noticed these 9 fruit of the Spirit are painted in fluorescent letters right on the boulevard. Because we believe when you accept Christ that you have all 9 of these, or at least the potential for all 9 of these, because this is what you get. You get Jesus in your heart. This is the character and personality of Jesus: love, joy, peace, long suffering. And sometimes you got to have that with your children, maybe even with your spouse. But thank God for long suffering, gentleness or kindness, goodness, benevolence, faith or faithfulness, You can be faithful in your marriage. Faithfulness, because of the power of God living inside of you. Meekness or humility, temperance, self-control. That allows you, you know, to push away from the table. You guys keep giving me Christmas cookies for Christmas. No, give them to somebody else, okay? Because I want to honor you and eat them. You know, I'm eating them with my almond milk now, you know, trying to eat healthy, right? And so if I eat a Christmas cookie with almond milk, then it cancels it out, right? It's like having a hamburger with a Diet Coke. It's got to be okay, right? How many are not going to smile about anything I say here today? We're family. We're family, right? I want you to look at this. This is available to you with the power of the Holy Ghost. When you get empowered by the Holy Spirit, you can operate in more of all these. You become more temperate. You're able to. You're able to do it. You become more long-suffering. Jesus was a revolutionary. He's talking about turning the other cheek, going the extra mile, blessing those that curse you. You know, that's the teaching of Jesus. Jesus is born, 30 years in his family, then he introduces his ministry in the synagogue. They get angry because he's speaking like he really believes it. You know, a lot of preachers are just delivering the word, but Jesus gets up, reads the scroll, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." I think he looked up into their eyes because he has anointed me to preach the good news. You know, people are saying, this isn't typical Sunday or Saturday go to synagogue. You know, this guy's hitting us where it hurts. And they ran him out of the synagogue, right? But I want you to know, when you're operating in God, in the love of God, man, you're going to have a better marriage. You're going to have a better relationship with your children. Your children are going to be better in their school, better in their athletics. The Spirit of God is not religious. It's about relationship, making you more effective on planet Earth. Turn to your Bible to the love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it starts out this way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. What does that mean? If you speak in tongues and you're operating the gifts of the Spirit, even laying hands on people and seeing healings, but you're not operating in the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the long-suffering, then, you know, they might call you a hypocrite. We don't want to do that. So this chapter goes on to talk about the attributes of love in about verse 4, 5, and 6, 7, 8. I've actually pulled out 16 characteristics of love. Here, I'll just put them all up there for you so you can just see them. I want you to just look at this for a moment. Because this Christmas, when you have your family and friends around a table, or when you're opening up gifts, by the power of the Holy Ghost, this is how you're going to operate. This is how you're going to act. Amen? Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy, does not boast, is not proud, is not rude. Why do we want to be rude? Look at somebody next to you and say, don't be rude.
Don't be rude.
Don't be rude. Is not self-seeking, is not easily angered. You know, it's crazy because, you know, we're giving gifts. Here we're in the most prosperous nation in the world, and our kids are opening one gift after the other. You know, they just keep coming, you know what I mean? And the kids, they look at it, and they just want to go to the next one, open it, you know, and it's fun, it's great. But if you're like me and you've raised kids, I mean, sometimes the kids, they pass away that, they pass by that expensive toy that you got, and they're playing with the box. So get over yourself. What's going to bless that child more is for you to operate this way. When the kid, you know, is opening gifts, you know, bumps over somebody's drink, what are you going to do? That child is going to be blessed if you just love them and say, oh, it was an accident, and you immediately start cleaning it up. If you start yelling and acting up and not acting in love, no matter how many gifts you get that child, you know what he's going to remember? That experience. Look at somebody next to you and say, don't be rude. Just rubbing it in. Keeps no record of wrongs. Don't be going back to that experience. Don't drive with looking in the rearview mirror. You're going to have an accident with your spouse. Once you've forgiven her or forgiven him, you don't want to go back there and keep talking about that problem. Stop that. That's not love. Does not delight in evil. Rejoices with the truth. Always protects. Always trusts. Always hopes. Always perseveres. Love never fails. And then this chapter ends with this verse. It says, and now these three remains, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So somebody wrote a version of this love chapter designed for Christmas. Here it goes. If I decorate my house perfectly with plaid bows, strands of twinkling lights, and shining balls, but do not show love to my family, I'm just another decorator. If I slave away in the kitchen, baking dozens of Christmas cookies, preparing gourmet meals, and arranging a beautifully adorned table at mealtime, but do not show love to my family, I'm just another cook. If I work at the soup kitchen, carol in the bars with Pastor Phil, and give all I have to charity, but do not show love to my family, it profits me nothing. I want to drive this home, church, because what we do in church on Sunday, what we do spending time with God, has got to make a difference in the relationships we have with one another. Or else the world just marks it off. Says, that's just religion. This isn't just religion. If I trim the spruce with shimmering angels and crystal snowflakes, attend a myriad of holiday parties and sing in the choir's cantata, but do not focus on Christ, I've missed the point. Love stops. Oh, did I miss one? Love stops the cooking to hug the child. Love sets aside the decorating to kiss the husband. Let me tell you, wives, if you do that this Christmas, you're going to make a memory. Guys, if you would just, instead of just pecking her on the cheek this Christmas, just say, honey, can I just have a moment with you? Take her back to the bedroom, throw her on the bed. Deep kiss her. She's going to remember that beyond the card that you picked out, that somebody else wrote. Love is kind, though harried and tired. Love doesn't envy another's home that has coordinated Christmas china and table linens. Love doesn't yell at the kids to get out of the way, but is thankful they are there to be in the way. Man, if I can get my kids to come over to my house for Christmas, I better be operating in love so they come next year. Love doesn't give only to those who are able to give in return, but rejoices in giving to those who can't, like the Haitian kids. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Video games will break. Pearl necklaces will be lost. Golf clubs will rust. But giving the gift of love will endure. Amen? Hallelujah. Let me give you just a little bit of the revolutionary teaching of Jesus. And because Jesus said, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. And sometimes we read this Bible and don't realize that The power of this word is in the principles that Jesus teaches us, and that is that there are conditions, you know, to us walking in the blessing and favor of God, and we have to apply these things. But look at this. Jesus shows up on the scene, Sermon on the Mount. You know, I mean, he's not preaching to gain favor from the people, because look at what he says. That pulling out just a few verses here. You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, we could cover a whole lot more scriptures. Many times we want to pass over these because this is too harsh. The disciples asked Jesus one time, who then can be saved? And Jesus said, well, with man this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible, with the Spirit of God in you. You know, like many of you, I've loaned people money that I've never gotten back. I've rented people properties that got behind and, you know, never made it right. And, you know, that hurts. But, you know, I don't want to get hardened to fulfilling scriptures like this. So you know what I do? I loan people money that I'm prepared to lose. Amen. That's all. You know, I'll loan the money, and then when it comes back, it's a blessing. If it doesn't come back, I'm not going to stress over it. I'm fulfilling this principle, this revolutionary teaching of Jesus. So today, my message is find love. Find love. Here's my final verse for you here. 1 Peter 3:9 says, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Let me break this down to you for just a moment. We are called to be people of blessing. And that requires us to be able to speak the word of God in situations. When you do that, a blessing can literally neutralize the curse. You know, the world's under a curse. Some people can't help themselves. They're not taught this, the fruit of the Spirit, and they're just operating an eye for an eye in the world. They've not been to church, and they're just lashing out and all this. I've seen it on the streets sometimes when I'm trying to be kind and minister to people, offering prayer, and somebody gets in my face and, you know, they want to act like they're gonna hurt me. If I try to fight back with the same spirit that they're using, I'm likely to get hit. And that's not going to end well. Maybe somebody will go to jail. Maybe me. I don't want to end that way. But if I walk in the ways of the Spirit and I return blessing for evil, I can literally neutralize the curse. It'll work for you too. And it's amazing. I mean, I've seen people, I've told you the story before when I sat down in front of a demonized woman who had multiple personalities. They call it multiple personality syndrome. She had been diagnosed that way. Her parents had not been able to talk to the real her for 13 years. She was demonized. And they got up in the morning. They didn't know which person was going to be. She had 3 or 4 different personalities, you know, working in her. And in one of the outdoor crusades I was preaching, her parents had her in the back, all the way in the back, a couple thousand people there. And all the way in the back, outdoors, Duluth, Minnesota. And I didn't know it, but she's cutting her arms up while the sermon's going on. She's all bloody. They bring her to the altar. They bring me over. Now she's sitting on the ground, hot afternoon, a Sunday morning and afternoon, and she's hot, sweaty, cursing, swearing, foaming at the mouth, evil, her eyes, no, not herself. What am I going to do? I sat down in front of her, didn't know what to do. I didn't hear any instruction. After, you know, people tried to cast it out, you know, and yelling at her, just sat in front of her and just started speaking the peace of God.
Amen.
The peace of God. She's looking at me, evil-eyed. The peace of God. The peace of the Holy Spirit be upon you. I saw that woman just start relaxing. Instead of all tensed up, just start relaxing. Start crying. I saw the evil spirits, the effects of the evil spirits just leaving her. For the first time in 13 years, when I went out to dinner with his family that night, they said, we've not been able to take our daughter to a restaurant for 13 years because of the control that these spirits had over her. And folks, I never touched her. I never spoke to her. I was just thinking in my heart and speaking in a whisper while she's cursing at me.
Amen.
And just the peace of God, the peace of God.
Yes.
One fruit of the Spirit, one attribute of the Spirit of God neutralized the curse that she was operating under. The power of God. Let me tell you, that's what we have. It's not the baby in the manger anymore. It's the powerful power of the Holy Spirit that's at work in our lives. Hi, honey. I'm watching my time. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. I'm going to have Joy finish it out with the Holy Night. Come on up, Joy, if you would. Here's what I want you to do today. I want you to get a vision for this, because I really believe Christmas is an opportunity for you to get close to people that maybe you've not been close to all year. Maybe the kids are going to come over. And if they're not, maybe you could call them and invite them over and let them see the regenerated, transformed mom and dad or brother or sister that they've not been fully introduced to yet. And no matter how much evil or, you know, is coming out of them, you are neutralizing it. It says, repay evil with blessing, because you were called to this so you can inherit. We have an inheritance from our Heavenly Father of eternal life. We're going to inherit so much more so we can take a little persecution here on planet Earth. Amen? I want you to stand with me if you would. And we prayed earlier about God blessing your families, bringing peace and unity in your families. I felt that God was leading me to pray this way. And, you know, don't be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious about those gatherings with your family. Don't be anxious about it, because the peace that passes all understanding is going to come into your home, come into your families, and you're going to be amazed to see what God's going to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.